American songwriter, my brother-in-law Sean Olbs of the Eiffels was able to talk to Jimmy Somewhere over Zoom video. Jimmy Somewhere talked to us about growing up in Norway and how his music has been heavily influenced by filmmaker Spike Jonze. Jimmy Somewhere is gearing up to release his debut solo record, Nothing Gold Can Stay, next month. So make sure to check that out. And check out the interview with my brother-in-law Sean Olbs of the Eiffels and Jimmy Somewhere on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Jimmy Somewhere.
We got Jimmy Somewhere here. What's going on?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm home for Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, you're from Norway, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're all across the globe right now. What time is it over there?
It's like it's 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Okay. Yeah, it's you're like literally the reverse. It's 12 p.m. here in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah.
You have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it's been chill. I get a little restless being home, but I brought like some equipment, so I'm making some music in the basement here like I used to, so it's fun.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like I used to bring my stuff with me a lot when I would visit home, and then I just kind of I've stopped doing that as of late, but Where are you living? Are you living in the States regularly now?
No, actually, I got an apartment in Oslo. It's like the capital.
Oh, nice.
Norway. Yeah. But I try to visit as often as I can. So I'm usually like in LA a lot, but now with COVID and everything, I've been stranded here in Oslo.
Sure. So I know you got your LP coming out early 2021, which is just around the corner. Nothing Gold Can Stay. But before we talk about that, would you mind taking us back and just letting us know how you got into music to begin with?
Yeah. Actually, it started in this room, which is now my dad's office. I kind of always, like, ever since I was like 6, 7, I've like written songs, and it's just been like a thing in my life for as long as I can remember. So I don't remember like exactly how like it started, but I think it began when I like found Eminem, which I became like super obsessed with, like super like huge like Eminem fan. I would like watch like all his interviews, and I just thought like him as an artist was very like mesmerizing, and I wanted to like be like that, but and then I just started like writing songs, and like the first song I wrote was a song called "You Are in Danger," which was kind of like me trying to make like a thriller type, like, you know, like spooky and like Halloween song with like a friend of mine when I was like 7, I think. And from there on, I just started like forming. There was a lot of like bands. I formed like a lot of bands at my elementary, and like all these kids came like in and out because I like kicked them out if they didn't take it like serious enough. So I would write songs to that, and we would cover My Chemical Romance and stuff like Green Day, and so it's kind of just always.
Do you remember this big? Do you remember that first Eminem album that kind of put you onto him?
Yeah.
Do you remember which one it was?
I think the first one that I really like fell in love with was like the Eminem Show. And then it kind of just went from there.
Right.
I found like everything else, but that was like the start. Yeah.
So how'd you go from Eminem, you know, a hip hop artist, to really getting into more of kind of the rock sound that you were into, you know, like you said, your My Chemical Romance and all that.
Right. I think, my sisters used to listen to like a lot of different music. So like I have two sisters, and my oldest sister used to listen to a lot of Coldplay. So whenever I like came into her room and were Coldplay playing, and then my other sister had like Green Day and more like rock stuff playing. And I remember like the first time I heard Green Day, it was like just like such an experience, because I felt kind of euphoric, which never like music never made me feel like that, like energetic, and I was like, what is this kind of like I just felt like it was like magic, you know, like the pop punk.
Yeah.
All the energy and like the feeling of it. And so, yeah, I just, and like once I got heavy into Eminem, I would just like start going down this rabbit hole of like all kinds of things and music, and just like be on YouTube, you know, as my generation like grew up on like YouTube and stuff, and find everything. And yeah. And my father's like a big like Pink Floyd fan and like Elton John. So he would take me to see like Roger Waters when he was in Norway. And like, yeah. So there's been a lot of different influences.
When you say you were writing music, were you creating anything production-wise on the computer or with an instrument, or were you mostly just writing down lyrics and having someone else do the music? How did it begin?
In the start, it was just like live, you know. It's just like I wrote songs for the band, and then the band would like perform it at like school things or like, you know, like community things, just like different right. local stuff. But in like, I think in middle school, I found like Joey Badass and like the whole like new wave of like rap with like Mac Miller and like Chance the Rapper and all that. So I wanted to do that. And that's when I bought like a mic. And, but I used to just download beats off YouTube and like try to rap over them. So it was nice.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what took you from you know, jamming with your friends, you know, at school and community things to taking it a little bit more seriously and you know, putting out actual, you know, great, you know, your records now have great production and all that. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Okay, it kind of changed when I met, like in eighth grade, I met my now like my producer, Milo Orcus. I met in eighth grade, and he was making like EDM songs, and I was really shy about like me like singing or rapping or whatever in my lyrics. So I would just like have him make me kind of like beats, try to like make me beats, but I would never like show him anything. But and then he would like put out his own like EDM songs, and I would make like the artwork for that. So we'd be like we felt like a team, but we weren't really like making music together. Like that, he would just like send me whatever, and then eventually after like
so you would get his beats, but you wouldn't send them back to him, so he wouldn't know what you were doing with them.
Yeah, exactly.
okay.
But and then like eventually, we started at the same like high school, and my first year in high school is when we really like. Kind of came together, and then he's been producing for like 3-4 years, so he started to get like good at it, and I started to like figure out kind of more like specifically what I wanted to do, like and then I remember I found like Kevin Abstract from Brockhampton really early, which was like a big like moment, whereas the first time I heard like something made just by some kids sound so professional. And that's when I kind of realized that, oh shit, we can make like some real music here. And then we started just like, we bought like new like recording equipment and got to it. And pretty quickly, like Escape, which was like my first real single, came out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to your stuff, and the production's great on it. So Kevin Abstract kind of, you know, inspired you to be like, hey, just because I'm young doesn't mean that I can't make great sounding records.
Yeah, exactly. And like, Milo is a really good producer, and there was a lot of years of just like us kind of just like practicing on our own before we kind of really joined forces and we're like, okay, we can make like actual music here.
Right. So you released a few different singles this year: Wedding, In My Car, Jesus, Bottle Rockets, Selfish. So you've been releasing a lot of music despite the craziness of 2020. Tell us a little bit about those tracks you've been releasing.
They're all like album tracks, and all like special songs to me. I think Bottle Rocket, the first one, it's one of my favorite songs that we made, and it's like it was also one of the like last songs we made for the album, because we needed like something with like high energy and something that really like bangs. So we made that in like December like last year. And the other song's been around for a while. Like Jesus we made in like 2017. Wedding we started in 2017, and like In My Car is from early 2019. So all the music, honestly, all the music on the album is very like spread out. We made it like over like since like 2016 to now. It's just kind of been like a process of us like wanting to make an album from the jump, but also knowing that like the music we made back then wasn't like as good as we wanted like an album to sound. So we kind of been working on it like on the side and like putting these pieces to the side whenever we made something that felt like, okay, this hits like deeper than like an EP or like a loose single. So that's all the songs that like are coming out now are a product of that.
So these are tracks that are going to be on Nothing Gold Can Stay.
Yeah, all of them are.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about Nothing Gold Can Stay. That's going to be dropping around February 5th, which is not too far away. I feel like it's going to come sooner than later. We're already at the end of December here. So, and you're releasing that via Next Wave Ultra Records. So aside from the singles that we've heard already, tell us a little bit about the album.
It's like, I feel like it's super like Jimmy Somewhere. Like it's, we wanted to make something that was like, the reason that we kind of started the project, since it's like the debut album, I wanted it to be like this, like very big, very emotional, and like all these like larger than life, like feelings, big hooks and explosives, and there's like a lot of skits on there, and like we wanted to, there's a lot of transitions and things. I just wanted to create like a really like cohesive piece of work that felt like, you know, the debut album of Jimmy Somewhere. Like this is like the real like intro, and then we can like experiment on whatever like later, but this first one is gonna be like, I didn't want to be afraid of like the cliches on the first one.
You wanted this to be the definitive base of Jimmy Somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I felt like we created, and that's why it also took so long for us to like find these songs, and make these songs as like as good as we possibly could. And it's like it's all produced by like Milo, and it's everything is written by me except like the feature verses. And Milo's also mixed the whole thing, which is like a hell of a process.
That's impressive, because that's two totally different art forms for those who, for those casual listeners. I mean, mixing is a job in itself. And I heard a thing yesterday. It was like, have a great record. First, you got to have a great song. Then you got to have a great producer. Then you got to have a great mixer. And then you got to have a great master, you know? And it's like, if you any one of those steps won't really make up for the other steps, except maybe the song itself, you know, that's the most important part. So I get it though. You know, you want to have a definitive record, because I feel like that's important. Because if you come out with something that's just kind of all over the place, I feel like it's harder to kind of, develop a kind of a fan base, because they don't really know where you're coming from. But if they know where you're coming from initially, I feel like fans are more willing to go on that exploratory journey with you to other areas.
Exactly. And like I look up to Kanye a lot, and you know, that first College Dropout is so like definitive, like you said, of like of Kanye as an artist, with all like the soul sampling and like the beats, and then things kind of like he explored a lot, but you still feel like the core, which you felt in like College Dropout through like all his albums, even though the sound kind of changed, there's still like soul samples all over the place. And there's still like the funny, like honest lyrics. And
totally. And then they get excited. Even if you're exploring, they'll hear a little bit of that old Jimmy Somewhere, and they'll be like,
right,
there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, do you have plans besides releasing the LP for next year? Are you already writing stuff for the next record? Are you hoping to do some touring if everything allows for it?
I'm very open for anything. I'm always excited to make music. So we started the second record, and we have already like 7-8 songs that I'm like considering for it, and like more just coming in. And the past week before we left for like Christmas vacation, we just like made a lot of songs, just trying to have like the most fun we could. We're just like, all right, now we're just gonna write these songs as if they're never coming out, just to like not think about like what, like anything. And we made like some pretty cool tracks that I want to put out like as loose singles. And then always just thinking about what we can do for like the next album that's like refreshing and exciting. And then hopefully we'll do some like shows too. But you never know with this virus.
Yeah. I feel like that's like a great, a great mindset to just kind of shake off the expectations and loosen yourself up. It's kind of, you know, when they say dance like no one's watching, you know, so you can really just get into it. I feel like make some music like no one's going to hear it. And then you can just be as loose and just really experimental, because hey, if it works, it works. If not, who cares? No one's going to hear it. And then if you get something great out of it, then awesome.
Yeah. Cause sometimes you get kind of just like, stuck in this box that you like create for yourself, where it's like, oh, like there's certain things that like I shouldn't be like saying on record or like talking about that wouldn't be like me or whatever, or just like, but it's still like me, or like wouldn't be like Jimmy Somewhere is would be like the right thing, where it's like where I feel like, oh, like this can't be on like a Jimmy Somewhere record. I just wanted to throw all that out the window, just like try for a week to just see like what kind of songs we would make if I just like just wrote whatever and just like tried to just like go off of intuition, I guess.
So tell us a little bit about where you came up with the name Jimmy Somewhere.
You know, I grew up on like Odd Future stuff like that, so, and I always thought like Earl Sweatshirt was a cool ass name, and I thought like Frank Ocean was a cool ass name, so I was just like, all right, this is just like, it's a name and it's a word. So I was just like, I love the name Jimmy. And it's also kind of like, I mean, my real name is Benjamin, so it's just like Benjamin, Jimmy. It's not too far. And then somewhere, I just thought somewhere like sounded like dreamy and nice or whatever it fit.
So
it's honestly that. I might regret it in the future, but it still holds up for now.
No, it's cool. And now that you've explained it, it makes total sense. You could totally jump into Odd Future and be a member now.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to do.
Earl Sweatshirt, Jimmy Somewhere. So, and tell us a little bit about Nothing Gold Can Stay. Cause I, you know, that's a quote. Was that from The Outsiders? I'm trying to, there's been I've heard that quote in a few different areas. Tell us what particularly inspired you to make that the record name.
It's like it's a Robert Frost poem that they used in The Outsiders, and I always thought it was really like beautiful. And I'm a very like nostalgic person, and I'm a very like, I always try to like create these memories and like do like my whole youth. I just try to like do things that felt, you know, big and like. I don't know how to like romantic, like I always try to like romanticize like the things we were doing, and it just kind of felt like Nothing Gold Can Stay, like all these songs are very much about like these memories I had and like things that have changed and like, you know, relationships that have come and gone and like friendships that have come and gone and like these moments we shared when we still like had it. And so I just felt like Nothing Gold Can Stay. It was like a fitting title that like everything ends, but it sounds more hopeful. If you say like Nothing Gold Can Stay, then like just like everything ends sounds like darker.
right. So right. That sounds, it's like we had something great. Right.
Right. Yeah. So. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Do you feel like, speaking of like going back some years, you mentioned that some of these songs you had written 4 years ago. Are you dealing with what some artists go through, you know, when they wait a while to release a track where almost, I know you addressed this a little bit, but it, are you starting to feel like a different person than the person who wrote some of these songs?
And that's a good question. Not really, honestly. I feel like I, of course, have like grown a lot, but I feel like I've just gotten more like confident rather than I've changed, because I always feel like I've been pretty much myself and like had the same, like I've had the same like passion forever, and I had like had the same friends forever. And even though we've like done a lot and like I've kind of yeah, like I said, of course, like grown and like matured or whatever, still feels good, at least these songs, because like we put these songs to the side for like a reason, because it felt special. But there's of course things that we have like thought about putting on the record one time that I like now look at and like, okay, this was not good, like we should, that we scrapped. But other than that, right, there's of course like some changes have been made, and we've like re-recorded stuff with like better equipment and yeah. But other than that, like, yeah, we've kept it the same. We want to make like timeless stuff. So it's important to us that it, like, if it doesn't last like 4 years, then, you know, it's whatever.
Right. Well, that's good. Yeah. And that's good, because I do hear sometimes artists will be like, oh, I waited too long and now these songs don't feel like me. But if you still feel great about the songs, then yeah, then you know, you kind of set out what you don't want to look back and cringe at anything that you made, you know. It happens, but you know, to know that 4 years later you still love these songs, that's a great feeling. Do you attribute your because you've picked up some great momentum already, you know, you haven't dropped your debut LP already, but you know, you've already you know, accrued a lot of fans. You know, just I'm looking at your Spotify before the interview, and you know, you got a lot of traction already. What do you you attribute that to, any one or a few things?
I mean, the Boy Pablo team has done a lot to bring me like recognition, and like a lot of people have found me through Boy Pablo, and we did like a tour with them in like 2018, where we felt like we grew a lot in like fans, and people got like a different connection with us. And then we did like Never Care together, which also like is my biggest song, and like was like a big moment and brought like a lot of people to my music. So I think like that's been like really important. My friendship with Boy Pablo and that whole team, and they're really amazing people. So it's always been like super fun, and yeah. And then it's just like, other than that, I feel like it's me and like Milo, who pretty much like, because we do all these things ourselves, and like the label helps with like money and stuff, but it's always like hard to create opportunity. And like me and Milo went to like LA in 2018 just like on with like no expectation before like the label and or anything, where we met like a lot of people that have become like important to us, and it's kind of always been just us like chasing this and doing the most we can to have the music heard.
Yeah. So you guys have been hustling. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Jimmy, it sounds like you guys are about to drop something big in February. So we're stoked to hear it. Loving what you got out already. We like Thank to end you. The interview by asking if you had one piece of advice for aspiring artists, what would it be?
I think just, this is like it's probably basic, but it's like, practice makes perfect, you know. It's just like, if you want to do something, do it as much as you can, which is also why you should love it first. That should be like the first thing. You should love it, you should be like obsessed with it, and then you should do it as much as you can. Like I said, I'm home on like Christmas vacation, the like 1 week of the year where I'm home, and I brought like all this equipment with me, not because of like any [S2] Right. [S1] Other reason than like I love to do this and I want to get better. Like I always want to get better, and I think like that's the most important. And just like other than that, just, you know, roll the dice and take a chance and put the music out also is another one. Cause like I have a lot of friends that like make a lot of music and it's, and never really put it out. Cause they're always like, oh, I don't know, like if people are going to like hear this or like, what's the reason I should put it out if nobody hears it or whatever. And that's just like, if you don't put it out, then definitely nobody will hear it. But like, even yeah. if like one yeah. person find it and love it, then it's like worth it, you know? So make a lot and sure. put it out. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. You got to put in those, what do they say? It's 10,000 hours or something yeah. to be a master yeah. at something. I mean, so you got to be clocking those hours at some point.